Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, speaking of radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, top five. Let's see what this is. We have another card here from the couple stack. Okay, even by their standards, it doesn't make any sense. All right.
Could have been done by an intern who just didn't make it past that.
If this had bagpipes, it would really be a keeper. Let's play that once more. Scotty J, is it possible you have a Doppler somewhere? No, not a Doppler. A Doppel. You have a Doppler. Do you have, Scotty, do you have a weather radar somewhere? Let's pull the plug on this now. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator, he's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Thanks. Breaking news out of Seattle. One worker is dead, two others seriously injured after becoming trapped in a large metal shredder.
Oh.
Yep. The metal recycling machine at Seattle Iron and Medical Corporation is used to shed, shred.
The Iron and Medical Corporation?
Yeah. Oh, metal. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, at least they're in the right place, but no.
Is used to shred cars.
Among other things.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Harold Webb.
Shred cars?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear that for a second. You said that and I kind of went, mm-hmm.
Shred cars.
And in my head, I'm like, I'm going to get a taco later. And then I started, holy Christ, I didn't know you could shred. Well, I guess you can shred.
You got to bring them to Seattle.
No.
To Seattle Iron and Metal Corporation.
Not today, though.
No. They're busy today. The whole place is wrapped in crime scene tape at the moment.
Has anybody showed up yet for the contest?
I'm not sure.
We told them to be here by 6 a.m.,
right.
And then at 6 a.m., we're going to rally them all together. Starting at 6:15, they're going to start their drinking their water.
Anywho, so that's American ingenuity, though, I think, that shreds cars and other stuff. Well, all right, step away from the shredder.
So nobody knows how that happened, but we'll have more on that later. Everybody stayed home today, except for us.
I got to tell you about the roads were even,
The roads were terrific if there were no cars.
The roads were even better than it because because once again, here's what it is. I just walked to my, I got my thoughts coming out once here. My brain is just one big mental colander at this point. All my thoughts are just streaming in every direction. So I just walked to my office to get some aspirin, and I looked down, and the coin guys are on the coin guys who have not left that corner. There's the Quiznos down here below us, and then they have just been staked out on that corner. I mean, late last night, the coin guys were still there. Coin guys sitting there, it was the saddest sight last night, where there's a camera on the corner pointed at that intersection where all the buses, the bus mall, where nothing had, you know, where the buses had all collided because they hadn't been chained up. Now, keep in mind, all of the bus collisions and all of the bus accidents and all of that TriMet crap, that happened yesterday morning at like 7 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. So late last night, a camera still stuck outside pointed at that corner where nothing is happening. There are no buses. There are no cars. There is nobody going down that road. And then sitting right inside the door at one of the Quiznos tables with the glummest, saddest look on his face you've ever seen is just some guy in a coin jacket just sitting there just kind of going, well, it's a living, you know, just kind of staring out the window. And I guess they were waiting for, like, fireballs to just rain out of the heaven or for a bus just to fall out of the sky, maybe.
Well, they sent the coin guys to walk around downtown today.
They're right now. There's a guy, again, out front.
On foot. They're not allowed to drive. Apparently, the coin truck is on empty. There's nothing in the budget to refill it.
I walked it by, and I looked outside just now, and there's a guy standing. He's doing a stand-up. Mm-hmm. There's a camera guy pointing at him. There's a coin guy sitting there going, as you can see, blah, blah, blah. And I walked by just as he was doing that turn to the left and kind of point to some vague area behind him gesture. We really ought to send Scotty down there to fall in front of the camera because you know what it'd make it on to. Scotty, just to walk by and be like, well, here I am on my way to fall.
But have Scotty trip over the tripod.
Oh, that's genius.
Of course
they love that.
Mm-hmm. Scotty will say, it's all because of you, coin.
No, don't say that part. That won't make it on. See, it's all because of AM 970 Solid Radio. Rick Emerson Show. Because that would be a whole lot of, you know, and the trouble hit home for Coin today. Watch this interesting footage. That would totally make it onto YouTube.
A trip over the reporter's foot.
You should totally, and then but take everybody down to the sidewalk with you. Make sure that you all end up in a tangled mess on the sidewalk.
Make sure you leave your wallet here, Scotty, before he gets a lot.
But the weather guys had it wrong again. I mean, I know at what point am I going to quit being surprised by this? Because if they've been K2 two nights ago. Remember K2, snow, don't count on it. And then, of course, that was the night that everything just became locked in powder everywhere. So last night, what did they keep saying to us last night? It's going to be...
Keep watching this video.
Buy our products. Marry and reproduce.
They had a big bulletin that made me drop everything. It turned out that they closed Washington Square except for the Cheese Factory.
Really?
That's all of Washington Square is closed except for the Cheese Factory.
Okay. But last night, all last night, they kept saying it's going to be twice as bad on Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. Wednesday morning is going to be even worse. It's all going to melt and then it's going to freeze. There will be icy, rainy death coming from the heavens. And so this morning, I'm like, well, screw that. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to head on out the door. The roads were fine this morning. I mean, they were slushy, but that was about it. And B, as I said at the top of the show, they were even better because there was no one else driving. Here's how good the roads were this morning. And this was an embarrassing story. So Scotty may have lost his wallet. This isn't quite as bad. I got all the way to work this morning, all the way over to the KUFO building, and I was locking up my car, and I realized I had not only my keys, I had Lara's keys, too. That's the thing, and I had to drive all the way back home this morning.
They lost your parking
space. All the way, well, no, because it's a bunch of shiftless slackers, nobody came to work. There are even fewer people at CBS Radio Portland today than there were yesterday. I mean... I didn't think that was possible because there was no one here yesterday. But there's no one minus three today. I mean, it was just a wasteland over there. So I drive, you know, then I'm driving all the way in and I'm navigating the slush and it's sort of stressful. And, you know, because the roads were fine, but you never know. Some idiot's going to slide out of nowhere in a TriMet and deliver you to your maker in some sort of, you know, in a bubble of fiery doom. So I get all the way into the parking lot and I reach in. I'm like, well, time to lock up the car. Wait a minute. One set of keys, two set of keys, what have I done? And I look down and I realize I've got Lara's keys and my keys. Here's why that's a problem. Because, and I believe that, I'm not meaning to get in anybody's trouble here, but I believe this is a violation of several state and federal laws. Our home is completely, every door has one of those double key deadbolts on it. The kind that doesn't have the knob on the inside, like our deadbolt is keyed on both sides, which I think is illegal. Because if there were ever to be, a fire, and let's say your husband had the keys at work, you'd die. So I'm sorry, honey, but I mean, you would just be dead.
So did you lock Lara in the house?
I did. I locked my wife in the house where she belongs until she learns not to be uppity. So, I caught her learning how to read. And talking to the other handmaids.
She's at home today?
Yeah, she
Where
can't
she
get out.
No, I lip-smacking desserts.
I cannot believe you locked her in her house.
She's at home in an apron, making a pie, as is her place.
Roll out a window, escape.
But I went all the way back home. That's the thing. So I had both sets of keys. And in my head, I'm like, well, this is the conversation I actually had. In my head, I'm like, does she really need to leave the house today?
She's got a lot of cooking to do.
Not really. No, that's my whole thing. I'm like, the house is kind of dirty. Well, there's that laundry. Well, that's all downstairs.
You were such an ass.
There's a big barrel of apples that needs to be peeled.
Here's a bottle of Lemon Pledge. Get to work. I didn't. And you know, actually what made me go back home? So, and again...
Did you forget something else?
I forgot my lunch. No, not really. I was thinking, and again, I don't mean to get anybody in trouble, but isn't that illegal to have a deadbolt that is keyed on both sides? Isn't it the law?
Yes, because you're going to be locked out when you get home.
No, because, I mean, because when
the landlord wants to come in and evict the tenants, I would say yes.
When the dog starts a fire, and that dog will start a fire one of these days.
No, cats start fires.
When he's not busy eating bags of nails and chocolate. I could leave something on the ground that just said, like...
Dress shoes.
Yes, that too. I could just leave a big barrel of chocolate filled with pieces of glass on the ground. They'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to have it all. If the house were just to catch fire, she would have been, you know, this is the sound from outside. Ah, hello. You know, she wouldn't have been able to get out. And but what really made me go home was this, was the realization that if I didn't go home, there's no way she could take the dog outside to whiz. The dog has been whizzing inside. There would have been no way, because not even the hallway, not, you know, that we have that little hallway next to us, not even the hallway would have gotten outside. The neighbors would not have even...
And your windows obviously have bars on them, because you live in
totally.
The area you live in.
So I had to drive all the way back home and drop off the keys and then drive all the way back and then walk over here, and this is a big pain. But the fact is that the roads were not all that bad, though. The roads were, relatively speaking, they were fine. It's a long way to get to that observation. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I was calling about having Scotty in front of the coin cameras.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to pull down the anchor with him.
That's what you're saying. He needs to walk by, grab the anchor, and then the anchor in turn pulls down the cameraman, like for leverage, and then they all end up on the ground together. That's YouTube material right there.
Exactly.
Scotty ends up with a toupee in his hands.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. There you go.
I don't think Jeff Granola wears a toupee.
Is he the guy? I never. No, I was confused.
Well, these guys go back and forth to different stations. Nobody knows who works for
him. No, I always confuse him with Joe Donlin anyway. Is that Joe Donlin? Joe Donnelly? Jeff Dahmer? What's his name?
I don't know. The only person I know on television is Kristen from accounting.
Who's the guy that looks like a huge roided up Paul Halama?
What would that look like?
Like if you gave Paul Halama Hulk pills or something.
Scary.
Paul Halama smash. If you were to jack Paul Halama full of growth hormone for like a year, there's that anchor that would look like Paul Halama.
What channel are you talking about?
I don't know.
They all look about the same.
What was the one that said...
Some mutant Paul Halama is on some TV
that channel.
You want to know who he is.
I think it's that channel that had the F word on there for like 30 seconds yesterday.
You realize that nobody else knows who Paul Halama what he looks like.
Was that KGW that had F Snow on there for 20 seconds? Maybe it's that channel. Okay. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
If you knew me better, you'd probably hear me spout and say things that I thought I was right about, and I'd probably be wrong about three quarters of the time or half the time.
Okay.
How's the connection? Are we still there? Never mind. You'll see what I mean. When you were talking about the KGW video with the car out of control and careening around corners and so forth,
yeah.
I think you're being a little unfair. How's the connection? I think you're being a little unfair because I believe nothing you can do on a hill that steep. You know that hill, don't you? Near the Mac Club behind the Civic Stadium area?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Nothing you can do on a hill like that lets you get traction. It's impossible. You can check with driving schools if you wanted to about that. I know you do this for entertainment and all, but really I think you're being a little unfair on that. When there's ice on a hill, nothing you do. You shouldn't be out there driving on a steep hill when it's like that.
Are you just trying to talk long enough so that I'll use the cutoff sounder?
Well, I just figured that you don't like people criticizing you most of the time. So
criticizing who?
It's
me?
It's funny, huh?
What?
I said you don't like people criticizing you most of the time.
So apparently you're new to the program, sir.
No, I'm not. I've been listening to you for years.
About 87% of the content on this program is people criticizing me. Usually people in the same room.
Wouldn't
by the
you
way.
Think it's the driver's fault if they don't have the proper traction? Like
there
they
is,
shouldn't have been.
But this, Sarah, there is no proper traction on an icy hill. It doesn't exist.
That's why my car hasn't moved.
But that doesn't
don't drive.
Okay, but hold on. Let's
I want to be told I'm wrong too, since everybody else. Is doing
I can criticize you some too. Like I said, if you knew
Thank
me
you.
Better, you could criticize me 100 times too. I'm sure.
Okay.
That's it?
Continue.
I'm just trying to get my hands around this call. Here's the thing. Well, all right. Wait, let me just do this, because clearly you, in some weird way, you're jonesing for it. And there you go. Thank you.
He was really scary.
No, he's from the East Coast.
They're all like that. really? No, it's true.
Yeah. It's nothing personal.
I don't understand what he's trying to say. He's mad at you because you were making fun of the car.
Whole generation raised by Bob Grant. What?
He's mad at you because you were making fun of the car because nobody with traction would be able to drive on that.
He's expressing his opinion.
He's
strongly.
Expressing his opinion as
but
people
you couldn't
from
drive
New York
with traction.
City do. Then listen, jerky. You know that's that's just it's. You know what it is? It's just.
It's nothing personal.
It's the way those people communicate, Sarah. It's a cultural thing.
Oh, those people.
He was very well-spoken, though, for one of those people. No, he was. He made his point relatively clearly. It's not concision. If I say conciseness, you know, he was concise. But is that conciseness? It doesn't sound like concision should be a word. You know, he made his point. He was very concise. He made his point with concision. I'm going to start saying that right now. I don't care if it's a word or not. Yeah, that's right, David. I'm talking to you. I don't care if it's a word or not. I'm going to say it.
Please call back.
All right.
Well, that's, I don't think he's done with you yet.
No, even Scotty's pointing out his point was to be hung up on. I mean, I live to serve, I guess. What are you going to do? Well, let's talk about... what are we doing right now?
I
mean, were we in the middle of the
story? I spent hours prepping this hour, and it's all still sitting here, and it's all going to be old tomorrow.
No, we're going to do nothing but news today. No, today is all news. No, we got 2 hours and 40 minutes
of news. All news all the time?
It is, and we're going to do traffic and weather with a side of ham. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's start off with this sad stuff, shall we?
Can we please? Wait, hold on. Hold on. Can I? Let's find some appropriate sad music for that. All right.
I'm waiting for the sad part.
Well,
hold on, let me just not go with this story. Doctors and nurses at Providence St. Vincent Medical Center in Cedar Mills say the snowstorm brought in a rush of snow and ice-related injuries from sprained fingers to broken bones. Between 7 and 5, the hospital cared for 30 people with injuries directly related to ice and snow. Among the thrill seekers was 18-year-old Jeffrey Walt. The boy had spent about an hour playing in the powder outside his North Plains home. When his fun was cut short, he was riding a flying saucer towed by an 18-wheeler driven by his father. The ride, Jeffrey says, was fun until he plowed into a 3-foot boulder. The move, doctors say, fractured Jeffrey's left arm. The third grader said he didn't mind the pain because he liked the saucer ride. It was still a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, that really is appropriate. It feels good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little shoe in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. How about you? That really is. That's fantastic. I'm glad.
So
you...
Dad will pull you into the traffic
for a dollar,
and then ran his kid into a boulder.
Yeah,
I was going to say that we should let the music reestablish it with the. There you go. Into a boulder. The phrase being towed on a flying saucer is
by an
18-wheeler.
I loved my flying saucer when I was a kid.
Me too.
I did hit a tree with my flying saucer once.
Were you being pulled by your idiot father?
No. But the tree itself was historic on our family property because it was the same tree that my dad was tied to during the 1938 hurricane.
I don't understand. Was he being punished for something?
No,
you have to stand outside in the hurricane, young man, until you learn to speak to your elders with more respect.
My Slavic grandfather thought it was a good move to save his child by tying him to a tree during a hurricane.
Do you have a house? Do you have houses?
Well, he thought the house would blow away, but the tree was so big that it would stay despite the high winds.
So your father,
well, it worked.
Tied to a tree in a hurricane.
That's correct, and he lived through it.
That'll mess you up.
Oh, believe me, it did work.
I'm only doing this because I love thee.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird, like... Okay.
So the house may have been destroyed.
Did you put any, like, protective shell around your father?
No, just a rope.
A crest protective coating.
Not even a helmet?
No, there weren't any helmets back during the Depression years.
They couldn't afford a helmet.
But it was better than being in Poland during the Nazi invasion. So he didn't complain.
Is I guess being tied to a tree is
that what he got threatened with instead of going to bed without dinner?
Yes.
I'll send you back to Poland for the Nazis.
That's right.
And now, guess what this music bed is called?
I don't know.
This is called Clubhouse Capers. All right. Do we have anybody else that's maimed or injured?
We do. We have maims and... Okay, let's see here.
Hold on a second.
Now, I'm not sure if this is the same incident. Because they're embarrassed to put this guy's name down, but apparently... A 38-year-old on a sled hit a parked car and ended up being taken to the hospital. His age and condition is unknown, but I hear he's 38. Then, a 14-year-old...
Sarah, where did the rest of your friends go after the bar last night?
They went to Mount Tabor.
Yeah.
Then a 14-year-old boy was seriously hurt after hitting his head on a tree while sledding at the LDS Church in Beaverton. Then a 14-year-old boy was hurt in a collision with a minivan while sledding near Ellsworth and Evergreen. He was dragged by the minivan. They jacked it up and fished him out. Altogether, over three dozen sledding-related injuries. Oh, by the way, sledders, please wear a helmet.
That's
going to
happen.
Those flexible flyers are really not so flexible, by the way, when you land on them. Just FYI. That Mormon kid, it is a little Mormon, just a 1% joke. Should have chosen the left.
Then a teenage boy who fell through the ice in Martha Lake near Linwood was found in the water by two rescuers after being in for 2 hours. He fell through the ice.
Tim says with a chuckle.
How did he stay alive for 2 hours?
Yeah, kids are pretty resilient. Another teenage boy who fell through the ice was rescued earlier by a neighbor in a canoe.
Wait, there's a canoe? How could there be a canoe with the ice?
They went canoeing on the ice, apparently.
I don't understand any of this.
I know. This is what happens when you give people the day off from work and they go canoeing on the ice.
Who's writing these stories?
I don't know. Who whoever was at Coin 6 yesterday during the
janitor morning. These stories don't make any sense. Oh, my God, in heaven.
I'm not done yet.
Kids are resilient. Their bones are all springy.
Their bones don't break the way ours do.
And there's a guy canoeing.
My favorite one is the dad who pulled the child into a boulder behind a pickup truck.
My favorite one.
Oh, let's...
I have more.
Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Did you get the memo from the mothership? CBS employees are absolutely, positively not allowed to touch the meat.
What show does this have anything to do with?
To what?
It was on the Letterman show last night at 12:30.
They're absolutely... They're not allowed to what?
Touch the meat.
I don't understand.
Well, it's just a memo from the mothership there at Dirty Rock. Or wherever the heck they are.
Thank you, sir.
Dirty Rock.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. Waited on hold like 9 minutes to say that.
Should we go to Southeast?
Do we have more injuries?
We do.
Let me re-cue the clubhouse capers bit. Mm-hmm. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I had the same problem with the door lock that you have. And what we did is just got another key and left it permanently on the inside part of it to act like a knob.
That seems like a great idea, especially if you've got a window right above the door. How could that possibly go wrong?
Well, if there's a knob there, they could still break the same window and get in.
I guess that's true. No, shut your mouth.
I saved your life.
Yes, when you threw yourself on that landmine. No, it's true. I just thought that those deadbolts weren't illegal anymore. I thought that those double key deadbolts were illegal.
They might be for renter places. They might be illegal.
Not in Southeast. It's probably legal in Southeast. All right. Okay.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Thank you. All right. Here's Tim. Let's do one more and then we'll break.
A 17-year-old was stabbed after a snowball struck a passing car. Happened around 1 o'clock today. This happened in Southeast. Where else? The 4800 block of Southeast Woodstock. Witnesses say the victim and a group of friends were throwing snowballs at each other in a parking lot when an errant snowball struck a car. The 36-year-old driver allegedly got out, started a verbal and physical altercation with the group. A teen was stabbed in the torso. The suspect, identified as John Preston Grant, left but returned a short time later and surrendered to police. He's charged with assault and booked in Multnomah County Detention Center. No damage to his car. The teen was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries.
I'm just trying to picture your dad tied to a tree. This is a hurricane, not a tornado?
It's a hurricane. The hurricane of 38. The big one.
All right.
Back east.
Scotty, can you look up, can you Google the hurricane of 38, please?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know exactly what kind of storm we're talking. Were you ever tied to anything?
No, we didn't have any hurricanes in my day.
That wasn't like a tradition he was just going to pass down?
No.
All
no.
Right. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. Wait. I was trying to find the ending point there. It's 503-733-2970. We should break here. We're way over time. We'll come back. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. We're back. The Ministry of Truth in just a moment. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, seeing the radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, the top five, and more news with Tim Riley. Stay there. Doesn't make any sense at all.
All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's Wednesday. We're here. We're live. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, I think that guy who criticized you is a professional caller. I hear him all the time. Four or five other shows.
Oh, he's one of those.
He has a very distinctive speaking style where he sort of sucks up his slobber through his nose and then breathes heavily a lot. F him.
Where's Colonel Tom?
No one knows. Oh. Let's see. Assigned P.S. I could be wrong. All right. 503-733-2970. We've got this. This is...
It was.
I was just fluffing up this news.
You're doing that more and more lately.
Yeah.
He's the fluffer.
I got to call that shrink. I was just fluffing up this news by...
Did you ever get an appointment?
Yeah, I did. We can talk about that
with
later.
Who?
Yay.
No, well, that's a long story.
Did you go?
Oh. I was just... No, I do this thing, this Rush Limbaugh thing, right?
Don't deal with it. You just ripped it again.
Okay, let me find a sturdier
piece
of paper.
It'll be impossible to read.
I was just... this Rush Limbaugh thing where I kind of fluff up the news like that. This is about the... Do we have the storm sounder? Not the storm lark, but, you know, the weather sounder. Damn it. This paper's defective. He hates these cans. The storm of 1938. September 21st, 1938. A devastating hurricane drives through the northeastern United States, including the home of one Tim Riley Sr. Residents are unprepared for the storm and the flooding it brings. Over 600 people are killed, most by drowning. Hundreds more never found. Tim Riley's dad tied to a tree. Property damage is estimated at $300 million, and that's in 1938 dollars, by the way. 8,000 homes are destroyed. 6,000 boats wrecked or damaged. Yet the hurricane does not receive much media attention. Neville Chamberlain's appeasement of Adolf Hitler in Europe dominates headlines before and after the storm. Hey. So there you go. This look at yesteryear.
Tied to a tree. All right, excellent.
I thought you just meant during like a Cowboys and Indians game or something.
No, this is a real hurricane.
How long was he tied to the tree for?
Oh, for quite some time. I mean, the winds took like an hour to go through.
Where did the rest of the family... Okay, so how many people were in the family at this point?
See, my dad had 8 brothers and sisters.
Well, were they less...
Did you have a lot of trees?
What were they tied to?
Some were put in the basement with the potatoes.
Tied to potatoes.
Yes, they were.
Was anyone else tied to a tree?
Somebody else was tied to a pony.
No, that was the only sturdy tree at that time. So my dad was one of the preferred children.
He's the stronger.
Yeah.
Only the strong shall survive. The chaff shall be sorted.
Rescue on the potato shelter.
Because the family was victims of many purges and communism and the czar's problems and everything else. Somebody had to be saved.
He of the strongest seed shall be tied to the tree so that the family name may live.
And it worked.
God damn, that's messed up.
did anyone else get hurt or...
Not that anyone spoke of. But I think it was the summer after that my grandfather decided it was time for my dad to learn how to swim. So he took him out in a pond.
Tied him to the bottom of the river.
No, he threw him out of the boat and told him, unless you learn how to swim right now, you drown.
You know, here's the thing about this.
It's happened to you, hasn't it?
Not me, but my mom.
Oh, your mom.
This is a generational thing because this happened to my mother, where my uncle...
What decade was she born in?
I swear to God, his name's Uncle Tom. Where Uncle Tom, as he always does, is the root of the problem.
And his minstrel show.
My drowning!
Because we didn't have a radio back then.
This music
the family put on its own entertainment every night in the front room. In front of the old wood stove.
This music makes everything better. Oh, thank you, KUPL. Thank you. My mom was born in 36, and my Uncle Tom took her out in a boat in the middle of a river. And he said, and she's all like, "What are we doing out here? Today you learn to swim." And literally it was like, "How?" Boom! Like right out of the boat, and he just rowed to shore and walked home. Tied up the boat, walked back home. Just left her in the river. My mom, you know, and then just like eventually made it back home.
So there you go.
I guess that was a Dr. Phil type of thing to do back then.
Yeah. It was a simpler time.
Pre-Oprah.
What I want you to do is abandon your children in a river.
Ask her if she's been tied to a tree next time you see her. Is this a generational thing? You never know.
My mother came from an odd family.
Mine was fairly level-headed, as you can tell.
This is my mother. This is the same family where my mother and my aunt Mary were having an argument at one point over a boy. And my aunt Mary decided that the best way to solve the argument was just to reach for an iron, which was like red hot, which was like right next to her at that point. So my mom, to this day, on the inside of one of her arms, has like a little mark that's the shape of an iron, because my aunt Mary was like, argument over, right there. So it was sort of an odd family. It was kind of a frontier discipline kind of a thing. All right. Anywho, what are we, I don't even know what we're doing here.
We were talking about sledding incidents.
I suppose. Do we have more?
Let's see. I have the live man who was pronounced dead. A Vancouver firefighter paramedic has been suspended and his paramedic license decertified after he reported the death of a man who turned out to be alive. Chief Don Bivens released a statement in which a paramedic arrived at the scene of which he thought was a suicide. The man was unconscious and unresponsive when the firefighters arrived, and they found a suicide note on his lap. He was pronounced dead at the scene, turned over to the cops, but firefighters who quickly called back after the medical examiner detected a pulse on the patient. The man was taken to hospital, treated, and released. He probably feels very stupid at this point. The paramedic will be put on leave immediately, and an internal investigation was started. What more is there to investigate? That inquiry found that the paramedic failed to use an electronic heart monitor in evaluating the patient. The employee suspended for 30 days and the state paramedic license is certified. It is our intent to be open as possible regarding our operations and internal disciplines, says Mr. Bivens.
And he didn't do that thing where you go, live, damn it, live, and then you like jam him on the, you pound him on the chest with something.
No, that's only on television.
Rick, that cart you're playing, let's see, that hodgepodge of sounds you're playing off a cart sounds to be a collection of snippets from various songs. Oh, this one. Let's see. Can you make sure this is turned up? This is a little low. And they don't do that radio thing either that you're supposed to do by hand where you write low on the cart as opposed to just re-recording it.
It's nothing but fun.
It's my guess that it was used as part of one of those radio show contests where they play a brief part of 8 songs. Oh, yeah. And listeners have to call in and give the entire list to win some crappy prize, just a guess.
And there's a rooster on the end of it.
Yeah. That is true. And it sounds like, it to me, now I may be wrong about this, but it sounds like Shania Twain.
At the end?
No. This the whole thing sounds like Shania. I'm guessing. And it says medium version. So maybe this is like an escalating contest where one of them was really difficult and one of them was really easy. And this is the medium. These do sound like Shania Twain cuts. Right there. And then that's that like, that's that like kind of tedious Canadian sex kitten thing that she does. So there you go. Rick, my dad learned to swim in a similar way. He told me swimming was easy. It was getting out of the sack that was... It was a bit of a challenge. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it looks like the end for employees of Sacramento's radio station. The end.
Wait, hold on.
An intercom station.
Another intercom station. I'm sorry, that was karma. I couldn't get the bit to fire just then. Scotty, do you have a gurgling sound? So I could do like another intercom station.
Has anybody showed up yet for the contest?
I'm not sure.
We told them to be here by 6 a.m., right. And then at 6 a.m., we're going to rally them all together. Starting at 6:15, they're going to start their drinking their water. Yes, the water's here. Fester's here. He's going to drink with them.
Fester's here.
Fester, you
waiting
did you drink?
For Fester.
There's Fester at the webcam.
Yeah, how much water do you think you can drink before you have to wee? We're going to be drinking
I did 2 gallons.
Two gallons? Oh, dude.
Can't you get water poisoning and, like, die?
Water. Your body is 98% water. Why can't you take in as much water as you want?
Maybe we should have researched this.
I don't know. No, Ray, that's for pussies. You don't want to do that. Rick, does the woman in the Wii audio sound strangely like Storm? I know it's not Storm. However, their voices are strangely similar. Well, let's see. What else do we have here? We have Rick. How about a spin a 360 and win an Xbox 360 contest? That sounds fantastic. Get a video camera there to film it. Yeah, I'll get right on that. Okay, we'll get We'll get some of these calls here in a second. But we have we have sound on this, right?
Yes, we do.
Audio. Okay.
The general manager of Sacramento's KDND, the end 107.9,
has resigned. Obviously, given the complicitousness of his involvement.
No.
Well, but
he gets to keep his job. These things happen.
No, but clearly the buck stops with him. So obviously he's going to go.
No, he stays.
Oh.
Regardless of how intercoms general managers really screw up their radio stations, their market, and their earnings, they get to stay.
It's just apparently there's
corporate
some
policy.
Some sort of this visible shield protects intercoms management from the repercussions of their decisions.
Well, they have fired 10. Apparently.
How is it there are 10 people at that radio station?
They are overstaffed. I've never heard of a radio station with 10 people.
10 whole people?
Yeah.
I wonder if they had to hire people just so they could fire them again, just for the media. Look,
we only have 2 employees. Can we get an EEO form? Can you hire 8 people by tomorrow?
I mean, 10.
We only need to pay them for a day.
10?
Uh-huh.
Are there 10 people that work here?
No, and we're overstaffed with 3.
4.
Oh, we have an extra one?
Scotty J.
Oh, my sorry. I never think of Scotty as being employed by anyone. I'm sorry. I forgot about our newest edition. But we really did need a 4th person, and Scotty, after an exhaustive interview, has got the job. Well, anyway, getting back to this story at Intercom.
I'm sorry, Scotty. I forgot you were there.
All right. Anyway, back to Intercom. Where 10 people who apparently worked on this morning, 10 people. They were just looking for an excuse.
How could you have 10 people on a morning show? How much laughter do you possibly need in the background?
I know.
Jesus. All right, well, whatever.
Well, they've been fired.
You sure that's not a typo?
No, 10.
Okay.
They played a role on this on-the-air contest involved drinking large quantities of water. Jennifer Strange died of water intoxication. Recordings of the show reveal that one of the DJs even suggested the danger.
Did you get water poisoning and, like, die?
Oh, that's not possible.
So the suggestion was dismissed, laughingly. A nurse was called in during the show to warn the staff.
I want to say that that those people that are drinking all that water can get sick and possibly die from water intoxication.
Yeah, we're aware of that. They sent releases, so we're not responsible. It's okay.
It's okay.
Let's test the strength of those releases now, shall we? Mm-hmm. All right.
Serving the public interest as a public trustee.
Yes.
This is the end.
It's really what Nikola Tesla had in mind when he created radio.
The victim also indicated she was not feeling well.
My head hurts.
Aww.
They keep telling me that it's the water, that it'll tell my head to hurt.
It's nothing really. Keep going.
Don't need to. Pay no attention to the throbbing. Oh, that's unfortunate.
Donnie Hogston was a participant...
Of course
in the contest
he was.
That ultimately caused the death of a Rancho Cordova woman.
Rancho Cordova, it just sounds smart.
He says none of those taking part were told of the warning by a nurse that too much water could kill.
No, maybe she would have walked away. Some other person walked away if they had heard that. But we didn't hear that inside there.
No, I'm sure she wouldn't have done that at all. Just like I didn't see a guy let a dog eat Alpo out of his mouth years ago for Garth Brooks tickets.
I mean, she would have done it if it wasn't for square dance clothes.
Seriously. Oh, God. Is that true that there's a morning show in Portland that has 6 people on it? Is that true? Well, go figure.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
And they all talk at the same time.
No, really?
No.
I'm amazed. Let's see here. Gary, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. How can I help you today?
Hey, Rick. How you doing out there?
What's up?
Hey, just a real quick question. You know, I've been listening to you for a long time, ever since you've been around, but I'm about frustrated with you and Sarah's... sexual sparring all the time. I want to know...
Sexual sparring?
Yeah, be for telling us how you keep that on the down low away from the wife, because I can't believe that you guys haven't bumped uglies yet.
Our sexual sparring.
Well, this is like moonlighting.
It's like awkward.
No, you got to be doing something, because
I was
say,
there's
you guys
and
if
there's
you're
a,
not, you should be.
And there's...
They're drinking lots of water.
Yeah, make sure you don't drink too much water while you're doing it. You might overhydrate.
See, and there's a really great joke that I could make. If it wasn't for the FCC, I could have, like a pick and roll thing there, I could have really just, when you said sexual sparring. And I have to do now the, it was going to be a blah, blah, blah. I was going to say that the image of Sarah, and I can't even say it. It's a perfectly good joke, and it's sitting right there.
I mean, it has to do with
being struck in the face with something. What?
Sarah's a very good-looking lady. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I could understand where it's hard to probably sit in that room with her every day and not be for trying something.
Be for trying what? Tim, look over there. What am I going to do?
He's a little bit older, so maybe he doesn't see real well.
What's that?
Oh, I see. Fine. I have bifocals.
They're not
real. Well, okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all three of you are bumping uglies in the radio station. Okay. I don't know.
All right. Scotty has typed on the screen. It's easier when she doesn't shower. Thank you, Scotty. And we're done. Oh, man.
Thanks for picking that up, Rick.
I had nothing. It was all like call, blah, 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 Sarah, blah, blah, blah. Sexual sparring, and there's such a funny joke there. Adam Carolla would have done it. Adam Carolla would have just made the joke, the FCC be damned. All right. Well, that's why I'm
blame
here.
Blame it on Daddy Mountain Dew.
I was going to say, and then you
get away with it.
And then you blame it on the partridge. All right. Well, there you go. He's clearly not a long-time listener to the program. I was going to ask him, because I've been listening to you since the beginning. I was going to ask him when that was. Because if he's a long time...
We've had several beginnings.
It's true. Hear it again for the first time. Because he would know that has been addressed repeatedly, ad nauseum, on this program. So there you go. All right, here's... try it when nobody's looking. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, three New York gals have been arrested in connection with a videotape attack that was posted on the internet.
And I like how somehow it's that he could understand it because you're desirable, but there's no like corollary there. Like, in no way is there any reciprocity. I am, of course, desirable in no way at all. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
He's a guy, Rick.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Mm. But then he conjured the image of all three of us getting it on, like Abu Ghraib style or something.
I mean, Scotty's the guy pointing. It's like we're in a phone booth or something. Never mind.
All right.
The tape shows a group of three gals striking, punching, and kicking another girl.
Oh, fantastic.
Number five.
Where is this at?
Number
though?
Five. Number five.
Stop. Where did it happen?
New York.
Okay.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
I don't even understand what's going on.
Right again. They're beating, striking, and kicking.
I can't hear it over the Tonight at 11 music.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
And so these are girls beating another girl on film?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's well.
So going out to B.
Excellent. Oh, okay, B. All right.
Now let's talk to the author of Mean Girls, Rachel Simmons, who says this is common among young teenage girls.
Mean Girls, a study in duality.
I think it would be a mistake to view this as totally exceptional. The fact that this got recorded is what makes it so interesting, and the fact that it allows us to see it. But these kinds of things are happening all over the country.
Oh, girls are mean. Uh-huh. Girls beat each other. Girl fights are way worse than guy fights. Guy fights, it's like guys get drunk or they get pissed off at each other and punch each other. Bam, it's done. How do I put this?
Girls throw each other into shredders.
Why would you say that?
Well, it's today's topic.
You're trying to tie it back?
Yes.
Again, it all comes back to me being a whore. Let me find a different analogy. The guy fights and girl fights are sort of, they have the same approach to that that they do to... the making of love. Whereas guys, it's like, you know, whatever. They want to punch another guy, bam, done, finished, over. And then they share a beer, and then like, and then one guy goes home. Whereas girls, though, man, girl fights are mean and intense, and they just drag it out, and it just lasts forever. Because guys too will go like, because guys understand the rules. Guys understand you punch a guy in the face, or you know, you get a guy in a headlock, and you beat him in the nose a few times. You know, there's no groin shots. You know, you don't scratch. Men don't bite. Men don't pull hair unless it's absolutely necessary. There's certain things you don't do. Girls have no rules. Girls have no compunction about taking just the cheapest, meanest, dirtiest shots in a fight. I'm talking about with each other. And it didn't happen all the time in my high school, but it happened pretty frequently. And it was always over a guy. Two girls always fighting over a guy. The fight never ends with the girls making out. The fight always ends with the girls crying, sobbing, holding each other, and they're going, "He's just not worth it. Let's not let him come between us." But meanwhile, they're all like bleeding, and they're all scratched up and whatnot. Because I mean, and the girl fight goes to the ground immediately. Like, guys will try to emulate, they all want to be in Roadhouse. So the guys will stand there, and they'll just totally trade punches with each other. Girls, they fight, and it's like Hoist Gracie. They are on the ground within 3 seconds and just trying to gouge each other's eyes out. Let's see. This is from our good friend Aram. Rick, one time Richard Nunn, was a former meteorologist at the WB.
Yes.
One time Richard Nunn tried this water drinking contest.
I thought so. One time he tried a girl fight.
Well.
That's for another segment.
Is there Mrs. Nunn? One time Richard Nunn tried this at a local rent-to-own place to win some rent-to-own coupons. The WB is a glorious network, or was. One time Richard Nunn tried a water drinking contest at a local rent-to-own place to win coupons, and the guy ended up puking everywhere. It was great. I bet Nate Baker has the tape somewhere. Nate, you have to hook a brother up. Oh, this is karma. Oh, I'm going to die right now. This is totally my Red Fox. What was your name? Elizabeth?
Yes.
That was, on the whatever, mind. Anyway. Oh, God.
We should break.
Especially because we got Lisa Goddard coming up at 1:05. Jesus. All right. Well, and then we've got all this news. Wait, are we even done with the sound cuts, Tim?
Well, no, we have a few more.
Okay, well, we're just going to do all news today because it's a snow day. We're still not caught up from yesterday.
People are home.
And so forth. So there you go. People are home and drunk or tied to things. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. We will come back with Lisa Goddard later on. Scotty J, the top five, all of that. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Next, don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio.